Thank you so much, Miss Lee. Today we will hear a talk on step 11. Everybody, please give a warm welcome to Amanda from Mission Viejo, California.
I think I'm unmuted. Hi, my name's Amanda. I'm an alcoholic. And thanks, Kim, for asking me to come. I come to this meeting regularly and I absolutely love it. My sobriety date is September 16th, 2017. And I'm so excited to be talking on step 11, which is crazy because I only want to talk a little bit about my story because I don't think I can talk about step 11 without talking about why I needed step 11. You know, I did not have a higher power when I got here at all. You know, from the time I can remember, just early on, feeling separate, different from the chatter of a thousand monkeys in my head is what I call it, you know, this constant thought of what other people are thinking about me. And then I'm, you know, judging other people and just feeling, you know, uncomfortable in my own skin. It's how it's always been from the time since I was five, you know, very controlling, always wanted to get my way. My mom, when I got sober, told me that when I was 5 years old, if I didn't get what I wanted, I would hold my breath till I passed out. And I was like, yep, that sounds like me. I said, what would you do about it? She goes, nothing. I would just let you do it. And that hurt my feelings. but you know, the disease of alcoholism took me down, you know, over a long period of time. You know, I had my first drink and drug at 12, found my mom's pot, smoked it. That was 12. At 13, there was a school dance. And I was afraid and very fearful of what other people were going to see me dancing. I still to this day haven't danced in sobriety. It's on my bucket list. I'm going to do it, I swear. And I just remember what that first drink did to me. And I grew up in an abusive household. My mom was away working all the time and my dad was very physically abusive. Today, I've made amends to that man and saw my part in things. And, you know, but he had his own troubles. You know, my dad was arrested for child molestation and not to me, but, you know, I saw that. I walked in on that. I kept that secret. You know, I looked to men, you know, for the love that I needed from an early age. And so it was this constant, you know, reaching out for other things. We went to church when I was little, but I saw certain things in church. You know, my dad was a Sunday school teacher and then we would get home and it was a completely different thing. And so my view, my opinion on it was not good. And hearing things like, you know, I'm going to go to hell for my shameful thoughts. Well, I knew I was out, you know, so it's like, what's the point? And, you know, I got pregnant at 18 and I had an abortion. And then at 21 or 22, I got pregnant again. And at 23, I had my daughter. Cause I was never going to do that again. I got sober for a little bit. Cause when they placed that little girl on my heart, or on my chest, it was the best spiritual experience I've ever had in my life. For all you parents out there, I know, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And, I knew I was going to do anything to protect her. And, a couple years later, it just wasn't enough. And I'm back to drinking and run and popping pills. And, you know, I got the cheating husband and my brother was murdered, gunned down in a park in East Whittier, by some gangbangers. And I really didn't believe in a God after that, you know? And, next thing you know, I'm losing my job after 20 years. I've, decided to try methamphetamines, not a good idea. And, boy, did that take me out. And I'm grateful for that. I really am, because I lost everything. I lost it all. Found myself in an abusive relationship. Before that, I was, doing incomprehensible, demoralizing things to make money. Including an Uber driver. I tried to do Uber driving before I did that incomprehensible, demoralizing thing. And, they frown upon falling asleep at the wheel. That's what I did, hit the driver in front of me. I nodded off a lot. I nodded off with my daughter in the car. She was in the back seat trying to take her to school. And we hit that center divider, and I could still hear the scream. It's very vivid. And she made it, you know, we made it, the car didn't make it. And, you know, she just didn't want to be around me anymore. And I knew I was going to try to get some help, try to do this thing on my own. And an hour later, I'm getting drunk and loaded because that's what I do, you know? And by the time I got to this program, I was so desperate, you know, an officer found me passed out at a gas station. And what I considered to be my guardian angel, his name was Chet Parker. And he offered me a way out, you know, and sent me to this 90-day program. And after the 90-day program, I hid out at my mom's house for a month. I was afraid to go out anywhere. And somebody called and asked me if I wanted to go to an AA meeting. And I said, yes, I do. Because I didn't think I was going to use meth again, but I knew I was going to drink. You know, my mom was drinking. My brother-in-law who was living there was drinking. And I was getting real thirsty. And, you know, the fear was coming back in. You know, I hadn't worked in 3 years. I lived off that man. And I just thought, who's going to hire me? I haven't, you know, just everything was coming back. And so I went to a meeting, and, I went to a lot of meetings. I was a meeting makers make it. And I started to get, I got a three-legged one-eyed dog. Cause if I'm in recovery, I need a dog in recovery. And then I got an apartment, and then my daughter wanted to come back and live with me. And I was just getting things back, and things were getting good. And, but something just didn't feel right, you know? And, my boss was starting to piss me off, and, you know, just so much was going on around me. You know, my ex-husband is an alcoholic, and we were fighting for custody for my daughter, and she didn't want to live there. And what am I going to do? And, you know, I knew that I needed the steps. You know, before that, I was just kind of reading them off the wall. I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but I was that girl that was telling people, you can't talk about God. This isn't a religious program. And I hadn't even picked up the big book, you know, to see how many times the word God was in there. And, you know, very arrogant. And, yeah. And so I knew I needed these steps. And, you know, when I got to step two, it was the most beautiful experience I had. I'm going to read this. It says, my friend suggested, when then what seemed a novel idea, why don't you choose your own conception of God? That statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I saw that growth could start from that point. Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. And, you know, I got to do this want ad for God. And that was important for me because I put all my old ideas down, you know, punishing, judgmental decider of heaven and hell. You know, and then I got to do my own conception, which was compassionate, loving, patient, kind, generous. Did I say funny? Funny's important. My God's funny. He's super funny. And then my sponsor said, before we go away from this, I just want you to realize, like, haven't you been playing God? Haven't you been judgmental? Haven't you been decider of right and wrong? How about we just live in this column for now? And that right there was the beginning of my beautiful relationship with a higher power, you know, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it, you know, what I love about my sponsor is, you know, she's constantly placing my hand in the hand of God. You know, I'll call her. I was in early sobriety. I was calling her with like all this drama and things that were happening. And she was my higher power. And then she would direct me back to God. Well, have you prayed on it? Have you, you know, and I didn't really see what she was doing there. And oftentimes I was like, I wouldn't even do it. Like she would tell me to go home and pray, and I didn't do it. But today I do. I don't start my day without prayer, meditation. My feet hit the ground, and I thank God for this life that I have today. It's such a beautiful life. And, you know, one of the best things this program tells us that we get to do is we get to seek, you know, and I don't get to judge anybody else's higher power. I have a higher power of my own. And, you know, and early when COVID hit, I freaked out because that was beginning of COVID was when I started right before that, I had my 5 meetings a week and I was taking commitments and I had sponsees and I was in it. Like I was, you know, doing the deal and excited about it. And then I flipped out and I called my sponsor like I always do. And she said, this is going to be great. Everything's going to be great. You're going to see how AA comes together. We're going to get on Zoom, whatever secretary meeting, I'll show you how to use it. And I hung up the phone thinking this lady's crazy. Like she's absolutely crazy. Does she know what's happening around us? And she was always the calm in the storm. And I started to see over time, it was because she was connected. She was connected. And that time in COVID allowed me to get connected. And I went to a meeting and somebody taught me about two-way prayer. And that has been a game changer in my life today. And I was doing two-way prayer for quite some time. I was having spiritual experiences. Twice I had walked out of my house and I'd walked out of my, it was my apartment. It was the same apartment that I'd always walked out of, you know, but everything was like in Technicolor. I called my sponsor who, by the way, has never taken a drug in her life. She's just a pure alcoholic, man. And I said, I think I'm on Molly. Like everything, like ecstasy is what Molly, you know, and she goes, no, honey, you're just having a spiritual experience. And it didn't last long, but it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And, you know, another time I was doing two-way prayer, I had gotten this vision, you know, it was like this kinetic energy ball, you know, they're at Spencer's, you know, and you put your hand on it and it all it just, and you can move it around and it kind of comes. And that's the vision I got of, you know, of when I tap into God, God connects me everywhere. He's like the source, you know? And I started to feel that. I started to feel super connected to other people. And then it was back to that column again of how can I be loving, patient, tolerant, kind, you know, but in order for me to get there, I had to be in a place that was super broken, you know, and do steps 4 through 9 to get rid of all of that shame, make my amends, clear up all of the wreckage that I have caused. And the more I do that, the closer, you know, with each amends I did, the closer I got to my higher power. I mean, those two experiences I shared with you, they were after I started doing my amends process. I mean, I heard somebody say step 5 and 9 are the God steps, and I believe it. I felt it. I've had an experience with it. And, you know, I ended up buying a house, and I couldn't believe it. From homeless prostitute out there, right? To having my daughter back in my family and being, you know, having a job, you know, that they trust me, you know, and being able to buy this home, you know, it was an incredible experience. But it pulled me away from God. I pulled away from God is what I did. I allowed the money and the busyness, and I got to remodel and demo the whole thing. And it was so much fun. And, you know, I wasn't staying connected to my sponsees. If they weren't calling in, I wasn't doing what I always did, which was calling them. You know, I just, whatever, it's no big deal. They want to cancel step work, fine. You know, I don't need my morning prayer and meditation. I have to get over to the construction worker. It was like, I just forgot, you know, like humility for me is knowing that all of my gifts come from God. You know, that man, that officer that showed up at that gas station, that wasn't me, you know, offering me an opportunity for a 90-day program when I had all those drugs and needles in my car. I was going to jail, man. That's where I was going to go. You know, that officer lady wanted to put me in jail, and he heard a call on the radio on his way off of work, you know, and then he came to visit me. His name is Chet Parker. He's amazing. You know, that guy saved my life. And I believe God used him as a vessel. You know, I believe that today. And, you know, so humility, all of my gifts come from God. And I, if I truly believe that, then I need to be able to give back what was so freely given to me. And if I'm not watching every single day for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear, if I'm not like continuing my step 10 throughout my day to look for this stuff, how do I know what to bring to God in 11? You know, this relationship, you know, I've always been with a guy, always. And never been single. And they told me in AA, your first year, stay away from the men. And I did that. I was so desperate. I did it. I couldn't believe I did it, but I did. And it was only because I realized I didn't have shit to offer. I remember getting all dressed up to an AA meeting, looking all sexy and walking in and thinking, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, you're dying. You're coming into this meeting and you're living at your mommy's house on a couch. Like, you have nothing to offer. Do this program. And I stayed single for a year, dated somebody. It went horrible. It was awful. Painted all the red flags green. And I thought when he dumped me, I was going to drink again. So I stayed single for another 2.5 years. And that was the best thing I could have ever done for myself, because I built a relationship with me and with God. And I'm so grateful every day, that I don't have to have any answers anymore. I bring everything to God. I've been struggling, with, I have an 18-year-old daughter and she's starting to drink. I woke up at 3:33 a.m. in the morning the other day, and I never wake up in the morning in the middle of the night. And it was 3:33, and I called my daughter. Something said, call my daughter. And I did. And she was driving around drinking with her friend, and just gotten into a fight with a boyfriend who's decided to be physically violent with her. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't get back to sleep. I was just wrestling, and even knowing that she was at her friend's house now, not driving around. I woke up in the morning thinking, who can I call to go over to this house and beat this guy up? Like, you know, I'm going to call her dad. I know his dad is going to, like, you know, it was so chaotic in my head. That's how I wake up. See, I wake up selfish. I wake up self-centered. I wake up in self, and in fear sometimes. And that's what happened that morning. And in talking to this other friend, I had the thought that came in that said, do your two-way prayer. And I did. And I'm going to share that with you, because it is step 11, and I love two-way prayer. But, you know, I'm going to also share what it says in the big book. It says, in thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come if we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. You know, that to me is two-way prayer. I'm asking God for an intuitive thought or a decision, and then I relax and take it easy. Two-way prayer. So this is what I put out as my question. I wrote it down. I said, dear God, I'm so angry. I'm so afraid for my daughter, and I have no idea what to do. He hit her again. She's drinking all the time now. She's so lost. How can I help her find her way back home? Should I call the police, show up at this guy's house? I have no idea what to do. Please help me. And then Carl Jung calls it active imagination. If the most loving presence were to speak to you, what would he say? And you pick up your pen and you start writing. And what came back was, my child, so many thoughts, so much fear, hand them over to me and I will take them from you. We cannot find solution in chaos, only in the stillness with me. Keep coming back to me today, again and again, and I will take them from you. This boy is my child as well. Violence is not the answer. You cannot solve violence and anger with more violence and anger. Reach out to the people that I've placed on your heart and ask for guidance. Keep seeking me for the peace that you desire, and I will give you strength. Open your heart to your daughter. Do not go to her in anger, for that will push her away. Let her know how much you love her. Show her she has value and worth, and know that I am walking with her also. And God, I got chills just reading that, because the minute I was done, the anger was gone. The violence was gone. I saw this boy as a child of God, you know? And that he is sick and suffering too. And that I, like my daughter, am entitled, she is entitled to the same journey I have. And I just have to stay close with God, because what I can be today is an example. I don't need to go into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection for all of the things that my ego wants me to say, which is, she watched you in that abusive relationship. This is what you taught her. You know, like, it's, this is all happening because of you. No, it's not. It's just not. I'm not that powerful, you know? And, you know, the more I stay connected to God, the more I can be a vessel for other people. And that's what this is all about. When I got that vision of putting my hand on the kinetic energy ball, that was connection. Like God was saying, like, you know, to me, I feel the vision was, you know, because I don't hear God's voice. Okay. When I was on meth, maybe, but I wasn't calling it God's voice. But it's like this connection, and it vibrates, you know. It says on page 62 of the big book, it says, come on, Amanda, I'm sorry, 63. It says, more and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life as we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, the hereafter. We are reborn. I have felt new power flow in. I have felt that. And I remember when I read that line, once I had felt it. See, once we have a knowing, once it's happened to us, there hasn't been one thing in this big book that hasn't just like, this big book's magic, you know? And I haven't come across one line where it hasn't been true for me, you know? Like, we can always go deeper in this program. And I'm so grateful that I pulled away and that I got caught up in the money in the house and everything else, because it taught me how much I need a daily reprieve contingent on, you know, we get a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. You know, I'm no use to other people if I'm not connected to God. You know, I was having these, you know, it's so funny because, you know, I get this house and my cousin who was living with me in the apartment, she comes to move here with me. And I'm watching her like, you know, why isn't she taking the trash out? What the hell? It's her day to do the dogs. I become this like judgmental, let me get my notebook out and tell you what you're not doing. And it's a horrible place to be, you know? I went to this monastery. I've been trying to seek out other things. And I'm this karma yoga idea just to check it out, you know? And they were talking about, you know, thoughts and anger and resentment, how they're not good. And I thought, oh wow, that's what our big book says. Funny that, you know, and that it's wrong to physically harm somebody. And I'm like, well, I don't do that. That's not me. And then they're like, you know, even with our words, with the words that we say to other people can be very harmful and hurtful. We need to stay away from that. And I was like, well, for the most part, I really don't do that anymore. I have the pause button, that gift of pause that it talks about. And then they went on to say, and thoughts, negative thoughts. And I thought, holy crap. Well, that's me all the time. Like they just pop in, they fly in, you know? But I will say they don't sit around and stay and, you know, park themselves and pop open my fridge and just ruminate in my mind anymore. They don't. And I think that's because I continue to go to God for guidance. You know, God has also, you know, this whole incident actually got me to be able to have a conversation with my ex-husband, who we don't speak. You know, I was under the impression that he absolutely hated me since I took full custody of my daughter, and wanted nothing to do with me. Well, that just isn't true. And, it's a lie that my brain told myself. And we had a 2-hour conversation about how he was trying to come into AA and about our daughter and all this stuff. And I thought, well, is it time? I don't know, you know? And, so I'm also, trying to start dating again, you know? And, you're thinking, what the hell does that have to do with step 11? Well, I get to bring God into everything today, everything. And there's a lot of fear of past stuff. And, you know, shame from my old behavior, which I get rid of, but it pops in sometimes, you know, and I want to be, my sponsor said, you get to be a woman of grace and dignity today, Amanda. And, I do, I'm a woman of grace and dignity today. You know, AA gave me that, you know, 'cause I can tell you that's not who I was before. You know, I would steal your shit and help you look for it. I was doing incomprehensible, demoralizing things. I hated who I was when I got here. I couldn't look myself in the mirror, you know, and this two-way prayer, like God loves me, you know, the more I forgive others and I make my amends, I just feel the sunlight of the spirit like running through me. I do. And I went to God for help, for not just the relationship that I'm in, that I kind of want to just push this guy away because it's getting a little, you know, but also my amends letter to my ex-husband. So I said, you know, dear God, I'm in fear to start this amends letter to Adam. I'm afraid I won't find the words. I'm afraid of what he will think of me when I read it. I'm also afraid of this relationship. I don't want to move too quickly, and I don't know how to say that. I'm in fear that it will just turn into sex, and I want to date him and do things away from the bedroom. Please help. That's a little personal, but hey, you know, I'm getting vulnerable here. What came back was, my child, the words are already within you. Just begin to write and they will pour out of you. Don't think, just write. Do not be afraid to be yourself. Be vulnerable and also ask questions. Building a strong foundation requires honesty and communication. Do not worry about the outcome or how others will see you. Come from your heart, deep within. That can never be wrong. Do not wait. Now is the time. Release your words, and that will release your worry and your fear. Go in peace, my child. I'm always with you. You know, it's these kinds of things. Like, we get to bring everything to God, like everything. And I didn't know that I could have a relationship so close. Now that there's other ways, you know, I've tried spiritual fasting and all these other things. You know, to me, I, you know, when I was asking for that help with the letter, it was saying how the words will come. I tried to sit down and write it and nothing came. And so I thought, okay, I'm just going to go back to work. During my lunch break, I get to work from home, and I went outside and I laid out, working on my California suntan, and was just laying out in the backyard. And all of a sudden, thoughts were just flowing in my head. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, okay, I'll do it later. And then the next thought was, no, get up and get a pen and do it now. And I started writing down, and it was, you know, you read his journal, tried to stop your relationship with his family, not being sensitive, you know, always making it about me, saying things to him that were harmful, looking to him for validation and not God, putting our little girl in harm's way. I didn't even remember I read his journal, but like all of these thoughts start flowing through, you know, the very thing that I asked for God's help for, you know, and now I get to kind of continue on this amends process. I don't have to ever do anything alone. And I feel that today, you know, and it started with using you guys as my higher power. It's, you know, started with using the idea that my sponsor had. And then the more I sought out, you know, the more I developed this beautiful relationship with a higher power that I don't think, I hope I never stop asking God for guidance and direction. I really don't, because, you know, left to my own devices, it can be crazy out there. You know, there are days when I don't have a real struggle to bring to God, and I still do the two-way prayer anyway, you know. I'm going to share one more. This will be my last one. I see I have 2.5 minutes left. I said, dear Heavenly Father, I'm so filled with your spirit this morning. Thank you for this beautiful life I get to live. If there's anyone I can help or be of service today, please place them in my heart and on my path. Please take my insecurities and thoughts of self so I can be a vessel of your love. Help me to treat my body like a temple and not overindulge in food. I guess I did ask for a little help there. What came back was, my child, be a light today and shine it upon others with your radiant smile and your loving heart. Do not worry about anything. Trust in me. Tell others the beauty you see in them. Treat each person you come across today as my child. There is always light to bring in someone's darkness. Look for the good in all things and you will find it. Go in peace, my child, and enjoy this day. You know, I absolutely, absolutely, love. Like I'm talking and I feel God's power flowing through me. I really do. Who would have thought when I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous telling people, you can't talk about God, this is not a religious program, you know, that I would be where I am today. You know, if you're new and in this program and you're struggling with a higher power, just keep coming back, just keep showing up. You know, that's what I did, you know, and I know that today, you know, God is using me. He's working in and through me. Like, I have a purpose, you know, which I felt so lost before. I felt so lost. you know, not knowing why we're here, what this is all about, you know, and there's so much more to learn and to grow. And if I stay close to this higher power, you know, I wake up in the morning and I do the prayer of St. Francis. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful prayer. It's better to understand than to be understood, better to love than to be loved. You know, my whole focus, my whole life was centered in self. It was about me, you know, and who would have thought that when you help somebody else out and you reach out and you ask God for guidance, that, you know, he would place your hand in the hand of somebody else to help. And then you're out of self, you know, and the fear slips away. I mean, it's just, this is all such a beautiful process, and I'm just grateful to be a part of it. Thank you for letting me share.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Amanda, for your wonderful share. There are no dues or fees for AA membership, but we do have expenses. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. We are observing the seventh tradition digitally on Venmo. You should see our Venmo information in the chat. Our Venmo address is @beacon-group. Please take a moment to make a contribution if you can. If you do not have a Venmo account, but you would like to send the contribution through the mail, please message me and I will supply you with our address. All of our contributions support AA's General Service Office. Thank you in advance for your generosity. If you're looking for a home group, we would love to have you. Our business meetings for this noon meeting are held virtually on the third Monday of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, following our regular meeting, and that will be next Monday, the 17th. The overall Beacon Group business meetings are both in person and on Zoom on the third Wednesday of the month at 9:15 p.m. Eastern, and that would be this next Wednesday, the 19th, coming up. To sign up for membership and be on the email list, please visit our website, which is posted in the chat. Our website has a lot of great information as well as recordings of our meetings, and that's beacongroupaa.com. We will now have AA announcements. Well, I have an announcement. So we are always looking for membership in our lovely little group here. We also, in the spirit of rotation, we have quite a few service commitments that need to be taken. Our requirement for service is 90 days. So if you would like to become a member or do some service with us, you can contact me or Andy or anybody with an asterisk in front of their name, and we will get you in the works. Also, we have a community WhatsApp, what do you call it? A community group. WhatsApp. Group. Yes, group, community group through WhatsApp that has all of our information regarding the speakers, any speaker changes, anything that is going on with our group. It is not a chat group. It's just an informational thing. So you won't get all kinds of different chats from different people that don't apply to you. And it's not annoying, I promise. So I will put that in the chat for you. And other than that, that's all I got. Enjoy the rest of your meeting. Oh, and then it's me again.